Our gospel lesson today is Luke 4, 14 to 21. Hear this word of the Lord for you today. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him, and he unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, upon the meditations of my mouth and of our hearts. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. So my dad had a saying, "Do the right thing at the right time for the right reason." It was kind of like his mission statement. Have you ever heard of Rick Warren's book, The Purpose-Driven Life? It's about how we each have a mission, a purpose, where we join what God is doing in the world, and it's our duty to discover that mission. In 1 Corinthians 12 today, we heard the part about our mission being using our talents as a member of the church, the body of Christ. We use what we know how to do for the common good. We are each a body part essential to the whole. I wonder, do you ever feel like you have a mission statement wherever you find yourself right now? Do you feel like you are joining what God is doing in the world in some way? And what about the church? Our church, FPC Mattawan. We have a mission statement on the back of the bulletin, but do we know it? Are we living it? Is it still the mission of the church, or is there a new focus? These are important questions. This Luke 4 passage today is basically Jesus' mission statement. You would think it would be one of the most famous verses, but it's not. Luke puts this story front and center at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. The words are Jesus' vision for his ministry, his purpose, and it's not even something new. The passage is from the prophet Isaiah, but it's never been embodied in a person like this before. Jesus reads the prophecy and then says, "Today this has been fulfilled in your hearing." In other words, this is who I am. Now imagine the scene. Luke says that Jesus had been preaching and teaching, but this is the first and only time his teaching is recorded in his hometown of Nazareth. In other words, the congregation is mostly family and friends. They know him. "Oh yes," they say, "that's Mary and Joseph's boy, you know, the carpenter. And now he's a teacher. Oh, good for him." I was reading about a typical synagogue service at this time. It would begin with what we would consider a call to worship, like reciting the Shema, which we would know as Deuteronomy 6, 4 to 9, which starts this way. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might." It's one of the oldest known daily prayers of Judaism. So the people in the synagogue would recite this Shema and pray facing towards Jerusalem. Then they would have a response, much as we have responses in our liturgy, ending with Amen. Then there would be a reading from the Torah or the prophets, then a sermon, then a benediction to close. Now, historically, we don't have many accounts of such services in Jesus' day, but that's what we have here in Luke 4. According to Howard Marshall, this passage may be the oldest known account of a synagogue service. Now, what Jesus says and does is very simple and incredibly powerful. At that time, readers would take a scroll of scripture and unroll it to a particular passage. These readers could be assigned ahead of time, or any male could be asked to read or preach. And this would have been a familiar passage. It's Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2a. Jesus actually omits the latter half of verse 2 about God's vengeance. So Jesus takes that scroll and he reads, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolls up the scroll, gives it back to the attendant, sits down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue are fixed on him, and he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." In other words, Jesus does this reading and a sermon all rolled into one. So this is Jesus' identity and mission. He's saying, "I am the Messiah. I am the Savior you've been expecting, and I've come to bring good news, release, sight, freedom, and new beginnings." And you know what? This didn't go over well, because these are friends and family in this congregation. They've watched him grow up. They know him, and they don't know him as the long-awaited Messiah. So of course he is rejected by those closest to him, even though his revelation is good news. His first sermon in Nazareth is his last sermon there. Jesus even predicts how they will reject him right before they do. He tells them that a prophet is not accepted in his hometown. And then in verse 29, the people get up. They drove him out of town, led him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they might hurl him off the cliff. But he passed through the midst of them and went on his way. Jesus told them his mission, and it wasn't what they expected, so they were not happy. The question for us today is, what's our mission? And how does it compare to his? And are we willing to stick with it, even when times are tough? Remember the question, WWJD, what would Jesus do? Well, what if that's still a great question? What would Jesus do in our shoes today? How are we involved with what God is doing in the world? How are we bringing good news, or helping people in captivity, or helping people see truth, or freeing people from oppression, or giving people a fresh start in life? A mission statement is not just what we want to do. A true mission statement for a Christian is what God has called us to do. What is that for you? And what is that for us? Jesus' mission is not just some good things he wants to accomplish. It's what God wants to do through him. So how does our mission compare to his? Pastor Tom Harvey, a Presbyterian missionary in Singapore, says mission catches you up in the life and vitality of God. For it is God who relentlessly draws men and women to him in love and compassion. When we step away from mission, there's a corresponding depletion of life and vitality in the church. Mission catches us up in the life and vitality of God. So what is bringing the life and vitality of God to this church? And how will we find our mission? What if we come to it the same way Jesus did? In Luke 4, it says, Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee. And then in the Isaiah reading, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me." What if the Holy Spirit directs us to our mission? The Holy Spirit is certainly central to Jesus' mission. And in the Gospel of Luke, this is the third time that Luke mentions Jesus being full of the Spirit. The first time is when the Holy Spirit descends like a dove on him at his baptism. The second time is when Jesus was led after that by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. And now for the third time, Jesus is filled with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit must be the key to finding our mission. Unfortunately, the Holy Spirit is often the overlooked member of the Trinity in our denomination. We tend to be more analytical, intellectual, and introverted. We're sometimes afraid of what we don't understand, like the mystery of the Holy Spirit. But the Spirit is what Jesus promised his followers after his death and resurrection to give us his power. The whole book of Acts, which is the second half of Luke, is about the power of the Holy Spirit in the early church. It is no accident that Luke mentions Jesus being filled with the Spirit. We need the Spirit today, don't we? What if we can plug into that power like a cord gets plugged into a power outlet? What if we can easily do that with just a prayer? The Spirit is available to all of us. The question is, are we asking for that power through prayer? Prayer's key. Jesus was a person of prayer. He grew up in a household full of prayer. He went to synagogue and prayed. We read throughout the Gospels that he went away alone, often to pray. He taught his disciples to pray in the Lord's Prayer. Jesus was a person of prayer. The question is, are we? Are we people of prayer? That's the way we plug into the Holy Spirit's power. We must go to God in prayer. We need to ask the Spirit to show us the way to find our mission and carry it out. Now, this can seem easier said than done. If prayer is not easy or familiar to you, try this. Just ask God to help you pray. In Romans 8, Paul reminds us that when we don't have the words, you know who does? The Holy Spirit, who can pray for us. Prayer is not just us asking God for what we want, and it's not just talking to God. Prayer is a reciprocal relationship where we offer ourselves to God and we receive the help and power we need to live and to live out God's call on our lives. We cannot know our mission without prayer. We cannot live out our mission without prayer. Jesus had a mission, and we have a mission as his followers. And the way we live that mission is through the power of the Spirit, a power we receive through prayer. So may we plug in to the Holy Spirit through prayer and follow God's mission for us in the world. That is the path to life, to hope, to joy. And for that, all God's people can say together, Amen.